Good morning, saints. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. He who we come to remember this day. What a blessed day it is to be able to gather in the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day to remember Jesus Christ. There's no place that I would rather be than to be here with you, my brothers and sisters, as we come together in this time of worship. I'd like to read to you a call to worship from the Book of Mormon, from the second book of Nephi, the first chapter, beginning at verse 65. And these are the words that Lehi shared with his son Jacob. And you might remember that Jacob was his firstborn son as they traveled in the wilderness. And Lehi was soon to depart this mortal life, and he was leaving a blessing upon his sons. And you can read that as you follow along earlier in that chapter. And he comes to Jacob, and these are the words that he says to him. He says, "For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free. And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil. Wherefore redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law, unto all those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And unto none else can the ends of the law be answered. Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and the mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah, who layeth down his life according to the flesh, and taketh it again by the power of the Spirit, that he may bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, being the first that should rise. Wherefore he is the first fruits unto God, inasmuch as he shall make intercession for all the children of men, and they that believe in him shall be saved." May God add his blessing to the reading of these words, and may he bless us richly through this service as we remember that which he did for us. Thank you.
Almighty God, our Eternal Father, we have gathered here today as a group of Thy saints for a very special purpose, to remember that great and last and infinite sacrifice of Thy only begotten Son. And I pray, Father, as we discern this body of Thy Son, which is represented by these emblems today, that we might do so with all honor and respect and reverence. And Father, I pray that You might be with my brother Joe as he presides over this service, and be with my brother Harold as he centers our thoughts upon this Thy Son, and my brother Ed as he brings those pastoral remarks. And be with Thy priesthood as they serve these group of Thy saints. Father, we pray that Thy Spirit might touch each one here today, that going forth from this day, that we might have a greater desire to serve Thee, and to purge ourselves of those things in our lives that separate us from Thee. And so, Father, we pray that our worship experience here today might be wonderful, and that we truly might be fed from on high. And these things we ask and pray in the name of Thy only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
An oblation is a gift to God. Before Christ's death, an oblation was a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, an animal or whatever it may be, first fruits. But after Christ's death, His sacrifice requires us to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And that broken heart and spirit leads us to give our gift to God and lay it on His altar before Him. And many times the Lord has blessed all of us, I know, when we laid our gift upon the altar, that we respect and give credit to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would pray this day, if you think about the poor and the needy, that your hearts would be touched and you would give that which you can, even the widow's mite, that they might be fed and strengthened. For the oblation of the first Sunday goes to the poor and needy, those that aren't set aside for other purposes. And we have so many poor and needy, not only among the branch, but out in the world around us. And I would pray that your heart would be touched this day, that the Spirit would lead you to give your widow's mite. Would you pray with me? Our great and merciful Heavenly Father, I do pray for your continued watch care over us all this day, that your Spirit would touch us and lead us throughout the day, and it might be a joyful day for all. For you've created a wonderful and beautiful environment for us, and you have provided all that we have need of, and even more. And it's through that surplus and sacrifice that we might give back that which you have given. And I pray that you would bless these monies to be used for the purposes they're intended for, that they would bless many, many others, and it would be multiplied even as loaves and fishes. We thank you and give praise, honor, and glory to thy name, for thy name is wonderful, counselor, marvelous. Thou art Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
I'd like to offer a short story before I proceed. There was a dear old lady, sister, that belonged to the congregations that we used to go to, once said every time that you were not present in a service, she said, "You sure missed a wonderful service today." It didn't matter what kind it was, but you missed a good one. Well, I would like to echo that sentiment about our prayer and testimony this morning. Those who weren't here, you missed a wonderful prayer and testimony service. I have chosen my scripture from the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 22nd verse. And it reads as follows. Okay. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is in remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you." And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is in remembrance of my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe on my name for the remission of their sins. And I give unto you a commandment, that you shall observe to do these things which you have seen me do, and bear record of me even unto the end." May he add his blessing to the reading of this word. This morning, friends and fellow saints, as I stand before you, it's in humility and a great sense of unworthiness as I attempt to express some thoughts on the significance and beauty of this, of the Lord's Supper. In the scripture, which I've just read a portion of from Matthew, we find revealed there many significant points about the events that surrounded the last hours of our Lord here on earth. We learn first about the Passover meal and its significance. We learn also of his betrayal by Judas Iscariot and how he bargained with the Sanhedrin. We also read of the agony in the garden as Jesus went to petition his heavenly Father. And finally, the denial of him by one who knew him best. I would invite each of you to revisit this chapter when you have time and read for yourselves the events that transpired so long ago that foreshadow why we find ourselves here in this very hour. The events of this account are also found in Mark, the 14th chapter. I don't remember the exact verse, but it's pretty much repeated there. I would also draw your attention first to these emblems that we find before us that we'll soon partake of. Christ, in his infinite wisdom, knew of man's inclination to change or desire to change everything that he confronted or gained knowledge of. So he chose one of the simplest of expressions to symbolize his broken body and spilt blood. He showed by example as he sat with his gathered disciples in the upper room, where he broke bread with them and partook of the drink of the wine as he observed the feast of the Passover. Yet as simple and plain as this significant expression would be, man has taken upon himself to change and dilute the extreme significance of this sacred act and the tenets found within it. It behooves us as members of this restored gospel to follow the pattern given by Christ as we observe the sacramental ordinance. Though outwardly appearing to be but a physical act, when we share in the partaking of the emblems, we express openly to each other and to our God that we desire, we want to achieve a oneness and a unity represented by the body of Christ. We no longer should feel fragmented and divided from each other. When Christ, when his life was taken on that fateful day, he paid the ultimate price as his body and blood were separated, divided, and as he sacrificed his body for our, for each of us. He paid the ultimate price, and Jesus overcame that separation, though, and fragmentation later by his resurrection. We know that many fellow Christians choose to regard the Lord's Supper or this sacrament of communion as only a memorial, and that all may partake of it, and that anyone may choose to serve it. To pretend, however, that there is a unity of oneness merely by partaking, when they have opened the gate to all, regardless of their covenant and or commitment with the Lord, makes a mockery of this divine offering, and in doing so, one eats and drinks condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And let us consider what the Apostle Paul spoke of about this very issue when he wrote to the Corinthian saints, that we find in the 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, the 27th verse. He says there, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." As I consider further what is truly new about this Lord's Supper, the thought came to me that it is the renewing and the cleansing of our spirits, and the forgiving of our transgressions toward one another, as we come before him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and the renewing it, and a renewed desire to be a committed follower and a servant of the Lord. This is where the newness lies in this significant act. These are the things that are within the grasp of each one here today. I trust that each of you who have entered the waters of baptism and confirmed a member of his church will find this to be so. It is incumbent upon each of us who have made this covenant and commitment that we approach this service repentant, and a newness of life will manifest itself in our own. This becomes more apparent to each member after partaking when we resolve to put away those sins of commission or omission that weigh us down and prevent us from obtaining that plane of life that God has promised that we would have if we were obedient. I believe that if we're truly repentant, truth will be conveyed to us in such a way that it'll cause us a desire to change our attitudes and inspire our minds and cause us to seek a new standard of living with our life. This is when this ordinance takes on a deeper meaning, that of a sacrament. The physical objects and the partaking of the emblems cause a spiritual change in our life and the ones receiving. As we read further in Matthew, in this account of what transpired after Christ left the Passover meal and moved to the Mount of Olives and then into the Gethsemane to pray to his Heavenly Father, we find there Christ was beseeching his disciples to come and to watch with him, for he knew what would soon come to pass. We know that even though these men had been with Jesus throughout his ministry here on earth, they had fears and doubts and reservations that prevented them from being as committed as they should have been at that very moment. Christ said unto them, "Ye shall all be offended because of me this night. I believe Christ knew what they would endure in their life in the future, and it would become a stumbling block by their close association with him. The teachings and miracles that they had knowledge of and witnessed would reveal their intimate association with Christ. If they were to remain committed followers, this knowledge would test their faith and put their lives in jeopardy henceforth. Peter took exception with Christ. He said, by what is recorded in Matthew, the 26th chapter, 28th verse, he says, though all men shall be offended because of thee, I will never be offended. But Christ knew his heart. And we know that Peter would later deny any knowledge of Christ after he was taken before the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests for his mock trial. We know sometime following the crucifixion and death of Christ, his disciples would indeed find it a stumbling block and indeed become martyrs in the early Christian church as they continued to preach and spread his teaching. The point I wish to make here is that we will never know how strong our commitment will be if we were ever put to the test because of our knowledge and a follower of our Lord. I know I have struggled in my life at times, perhaps, as some of you, and question the depth of your commitment. But I know that I'm a firm believer, and I desire to be a steadfast and faithful servant to the end. We each possess varying degrees of commitment to Christ and our Heavenly Father, and make us unique and also separate. But I think we would all agree Zionic living would be a beautiful alternative if we could all reach a state of one heart and one mind. Sharing in this communion experience today is a means by which we come together but for a few moments and share a feeling of closeness to each other, being committed in mind and spirit. Together with our common agency that God has granted to each of us, we can find and achieve a harmony with God that he intended us to have. Personally, I count it a blessing to have found this restored church that changed my life and the direction it might have otherwise taken, to have had the opportunity to make the commitment to it and its precepts in the waters of baptism. Doing so has brought me a greater appreciation and enlightenment as a follower of the Lord, where I can be assured of his promises and blessings if I remain faithful to the end. His promises are for each of us and those who hear and are willing to respond. Christ exhorted the multitudes and followers of his day with these words. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either you will hate one and love the other, or else you will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This admonishment is as valid today as when first spoken by our Lord. Throughout history, Christian men and women have exhibited an exercise on questionable faith in our Lord and his message of salvation. Many of the early Restoration saints had such commitment and dedication, and I believe that each of you here share that same commitment and desire to remain strong and faithful. So today, as we partake of these emblems, to renew our commitment to follow our Lord and God and the covenant that we made in baptism, let us ponder just for a few moments, the significance of that dreadful day when Christ gave his life. And that glorious morning when he was resurrected to free us from an eternity of no glory. This is truly the day of the Lord. Let us prepare to receive him in our hearts. Thank you.
As we just sang those words, "Feed us, we pray." Saints, the emblems have been prepared before us. That which represents the broken body and the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. As we now make preparation to partake of this sacrament of the Lord's Supper, shall we kneel as the prayer is offered. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments, which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. Has anyone missed their portion of bread that desired to partake? Saints, then, once again shall we kneel as the prayer is offered over the wine. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. Have all those that desired to partake of the wine received their portion? I couldn't help but notice as the priesthood came back in, I had, of course, a unique perspective being up here in the front, but there was a smile on each and every one of their faces. And I will testify, it truly is a joy to be able to be of service to the Lord and be of service to you, and to mingle amongst you and offer the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. What a great joy it is to me, and I'm sure that I speak for all my brethren here on the rostrum as well. I would like to now invite our pastor, Brother Ed, to come and just share with us some of those words that have been placed upon his heart.
I'd like to share two scripture verses and offer a prayer. First is a well-known verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. And in Doctrine and Covenants 98, verse 4, verily I say unto you, notwithstanding their sins, my bowels are filled with compassion toward them. I will not utterly cast them off, and in the day of wrath I will remember mercy. Therefore, let your hearts be comforted concerning Zion, for all flesh is in mine hands. Be still, and know that I am God. Zion shall not be moved out of her place. Notwithstanding, her children are scattered. They that remain and are pure in heart shall return and come to their inheritances, they and their children, with songs of everlasting joy, to build up the waste places of Zion. And all these things that the prophets might be fulfilled. Would you bow with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, what joy it is that we could come and partake of this Thy Last Supper in remembrance of Your Son and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And here before You now, Lord, as the saints have bowed their head in reverence and respect for Your omnipotence and Your power in our life and in the universe, We have our young children that are looking for their station in life, and our elderly that are holding on to that which they know and striving to serve with every fiber of their being. And yet, in the mid-age, we find that we're striving to stay together, to walk on that pathway to your kingdom on earth, even Zion. And united in this way, O God, in our stations of life, we find that we could come at your table and remember your Son and remember the promise of eternal salvation. And so I ask a blessing upon each home represented here, each young one, each elderly, and each one in their calling. Lord, bless their homes and their life. Allow them to see your work in their life. Allow each one of us to see the opportunity to serve each day. Bless them as they go, I would pray. And we would look forward to that day yet before us, that great and terrible day in which you shall come and put all those things in order. We thank you, O God, for the promises in your word, praying that we be faithful unto the end, that we might endure all things. And we ask it and pray it in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Almighty God, how wonderful Thou art. Father, we have come this day and we have consumed Thy body, for which we are thankful. We have consumed Your blood, and we thank You for that. We have consumed Your word, with which You have blessed us. And we've been overtaken with Your Spirit, which You've poured out abundantly upon us. And we pray, Father, that by the power of that Spirit, we might all be bound together as one. And we pray, Father, that by that same Spirit we might be bound together with all those who look forward to the coming of Your kingdom with hope and a blessed assurance. We pray, Father, that through that unity we might become Your people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And that You would see fit, Father, to once again recover Your church from the wilderness. That it may once again become the cause of Zion. May Your kingdom come. May Your will be done. In the sweet and lovely name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.